Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For 40 days, the resurrected Jesus walked the roads of Israel, but then the time came for a journey into the sky. Angels attended as Jesus rose into the air until the clouds took him out of sight. Today, more about what it means for Jesus to be in heaven. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Dr. Lutzer talks today about the Ascension, the event which put Jesus back in heaven where he belongs. When Christ entered heaven, first of all, he reclaimed what he owns.
Secondly, it shows also his right to headship, to ownership, to headship. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1 that Jesus is above all principalities, all powers, every name that is named, both in this world and in the world to come. And the Lord has put all things under his feet. And then it says, and made him to be head of the church, his body. He is head of the church. And as such, he gives us strength. Ephesians chapter 4. Because he is the head, every ligament and every joint is helped and given strength and given unity, because the head has arrived in heaven. Now this morning, I am sure that you looked at your head. As I look over this congregation, I can tell that you look far too pretty to think that you never looked at your head. But your head has the same life as your feet and as your fingers and as your toes. Jesus is our head in heaven, and as such, he gives us life and he gives us strength. I have a pastor friend who has a disability, but he's a marvelous preacher. And he was telling me, he said, you know, I sometimes get so tired. And I said, I can identify with that. But isn't it wonderful to know that even when we are tired, Jesus isn't. Even when we are weary, Jesus isn't. His work and his power keeps going on. He strengthens us. Secondly, he represents us. He represents us. We have now a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ. And he is there at the right hand of God the Father, representing us to the Father. In fact, in Ephesians 2, it says that we are there with him in heaven, already, legally, at the right hand of God the Father too. And he stands in for us as our representative and as our high priest. You know, I could win a court case in California today without even being there if I had an attorney who was there and if there was a court case like that happening. In the very same way, I am winning victories in heaven because of my high priest. I am already legally in heaven. When you die, there's no big hassle at the border because you've already been there with Jesus, and you're welcomed as if you are Jesus. And so Jesus is there at the right hand of God the Father, and he is our high priest. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And there he is. He stands in for us. Was it not Charles Wesley who said, five bleeding wounds he bears received on Calvary? They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die. He represents us. He also welcomes us. I love that passage in Acts chapter 7 where Stephen is being stoned. And as the rocks are flying, the Bible says that heavens opened and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, you've heard me say this before, but God wants you to hear it again. In all the other instances, it says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. only instance in the New Testament where he's standing at the right hand of God the Father. It's almost as if he's saying, Stephen, look, be faithful unto death because I'm here to welcome you home. And Jesus stands there. What about those who trust Christ as Savior? They are welcomed by Jesus into heaven and need not have an intermediate stop. They go from this life to the life to come because of Jesus. Now, some of you don't have that assurance, and I can tell you why. First of all, maybe because you have a ritualistic faith. The belief that somehow you are saved by baptism or communion, and the ritual does it. Some of you may have what I call a scattered faith. You have faith in Jesus, some faith there, some faith in yourself, some faith in somebody else, and you hope that if you cover the bases, you're in. Listen to me carefully. When you add to the gospel, you always subtract from the gospel. Your faith has to be in Christ alone. And when it is in Christ alone and what he did, and you embrace that for yourself, you not only are saved, but you know it, because you know you'll be welcomed into heaven on the basis of Christ's merit and not your flawed performance. Thank you, Lord. And so Jesus welcomes us into heaven. So it's a sign of ownership, it's a sign of headship, it is also proof of kingship. Paul says that Jesus went far above the heavens. You say, well, how far is that? We must understand that the issue is not distance. That's not why the Bible pictures him so high. It's not because of distance. The issue is dominion. Dominion, that's what it is. It's not a matter of travel, how far he travels. It's a matter of triumph. Jesus Christ is there as King of kings and Lord of lords. You say, well, is Jesus a king already? Yes, he is a king already. Think of it this way. Jesus at no time is going to know more than he does today, because he is already omniscient and knows all things. He will never have more power than he has today, because he's omnipotent, all-powerful, as he is today, seated on the heavenly throne. There are two aspects to his rule. One is the present aspect. You say, well, if Jesus is king, if he's Lord, if he's God, why doesn't he take care of the messes in the world? Look at the terrible experiences that people are having with natural disasters and war and poverty and cruelty of every kind. Why doesn't he just come and straighten it all out? Well, the good news is he's going to. He's going to straighten it out. But he's giving time. The scripture says he is waiting until all enemies be put under his feet. He's waiting until that happens. And he's giving Satan time. He's giving people time to show that they can't organize themselves in this world, that they can't ultimately get along, that human nature is as bad as the Bible says it is. And so God gives this cursed earth time. But he's waiting. And even though his coronation in heaven was somewhat private, believe me that when he comes to earth as king, it is going to be very, very public. For as the lightning shines from the east to the west, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, when the whole earth realizes that Jesus is king, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he will have no rivals, no competition, nobody else to stand to dispute him. They will recognize him for who he is. It's going to happen, folks. It will happen. So he has recognized in the ascension also his kingship, his right to kingship. Well, what does all this have to do with us? Well, first of all, because we are in Christ, that means that we are already owners too. We don't own a piece of heaven because of who we are. We own a piece of heaven because of what Jesus has made us to be. That's why we own a piece of heaven. And so today, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, there is a crown in heaven with your name on it that only you can wear. There's a condo that only you can enter. The Bible says he has reserved a place for you. I love that phrase. You're at a restaurant, everybody's standing in line, and you walk ahead of everybody else because you have a place reserved for you. You have a place reserved in heaven for you. You own that because of Jesus, because of Jesus. You know, my friend, I think it was Jonathan Edwards who says that everything that belongs to Jesus will someday belong to us. He makes no distinction between that which is his and that which is going to be ours, believe it or not. You know, you think of the fact that in the book of Romans, it says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The message that you have just heard, I believe so deeply, we need to understand the ascension of Jesus. Seldom do we hear a sermon on it, but his ascension is proof of his superiority. It is proof that his victory was won on the cross on our behalf. And so we not only serve a risen Savior, but we also serve an exalted Savior. From my heart to yours, I want to thank the many of you who support the ministry of Running to Win. Oftentimes when I have the opportunity of travel, I meet so many people who are impacted by what God is doing through this ministry. And those of you who are listening, you are a part, really, of our family. If you'd like to know how you can become more specifically a part of the Running to Win family, here's what you can do. You can visit offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com, and then click on Endurance Partners. Or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. Now, if you are like me, you sometimes don't have a pencil handy, so I'll give that number to you again, 1-800-215-5001. And in this way, you can become a part of what we are doing. I always think of Running to Win as a ministry, not of a man, not of a church, not of an organization, but rather God's ministry that he has seen fit to bless. Thank you in advance for your support, for your love, for your prayers. Together we are making a difference on Running to Win.
You've heard Erwin Lutzer with Back in Heaven Where He Belongs. Tomorrow, we'll take a further look at how, as King of Kings, Jesus' rule is already in effect. This message can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write or call, ask about Back in Heaven Where He Belongs. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.